I heard Dr. Jeff Fugate tell a story about his relationship with his dad. His dad, a Baptist preacher, had been his hero, and he said he knew some people had sports figures or political figures for their heroes, but not him. His dad was, without a doubt, his hero. Loved to spend time with his dad. Every Saturday night, he would shine his dad's big brown wingtip shoes for him. His daddy told him, "Son, a man with mud on the soles of his dress shoes is like a Cadillac with mud grip tires on it." How many of y'all know what mud grip tires were? You're dating yourself. Jeff would clean and shine his dad's shoes until he could almost see himself in them. Then he would put those shoes at Dad's bedroom door and put a note with it that said, "Dear Dad, I want you to know that I love you. You're the greatest preacher in the world, and you're my hero, and I can't wait till tomorrow to hear you preach." Jeff said, "When I went to church, I didn't sit in the middle of the church. I sat right down front because my hero was about to preach." His dad told him to work hard. His dad told him, "Son, a man shouldn't work more than half a shift a day. A whole shift is 24 hours, so that means a man should work a half a shift, which is only 24 hours a day, or 12 hours a day." Throughout his teen years, Jeff's dream had been to someday work on the church staff with his dad. Then something happened that would be one of the most devastating occurrences of Jeff Fugate's entire life. Now, would you look with me, please, at Mark chapter 14. There is an unusual word that relates to dads or fathers that occurs three times in the Bible that really is my text for the message this morning. In Mark chapter 14, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 32, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and He said to His disciples, 'Sit ye here while I shall pray.' And He taketh with Him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, 'My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch.' And went it forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him." Read verse 36 with me out loud, would you please? "And He said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt.'" Now turn over with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. And I will have you read verse 15 with me. Verse 13 says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Romans 8:15, read it with me, please. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." One more passage in the book of Galatians, just a few pages over in Galatians chapter 4, and I'll have you read with me verse 6. Galatians chapter 4, I'm reading at verse 4. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Read verse 6 with me out loud, would you please? "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Did you notice the word? It is Abba. Say it with me, please. Abba. All three times it occurs in your Bible, it occurs with the word Father. Abba, Father. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying to His Father, He said, Abba, Father. And then the Apostle Paul, writing in the book of Romans, says, "You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry," say it again, "Abba, Father." And then Paul here in Galatians says, "Because you're sons, God has sent forth the spirit of His sons into your heart, crying, Abba, Father." The word Abba is obviously not an English word. It is actually an Aramaic word that when the translators of your Bible came to, they deliberately left it untranslated. It could be translated by any word that a son would use to talk to a father whom he loved, admired, and respected. Abba could mean Pa, or Papa, or Pappy, or Pop, or Dad, or Daddy. An affectionate term of respect used by a son in relation to his father. Abba was a title of endearment. I never remember calling my dad Father. Maybe I did at some point, but I really don't remember it. Not that it would have been wrong, but all my life I called my daddy, Daddy. My girls have called me Daddy when they were little, and since call me usually Dad. It is the same thing as Abba. Now, think of those three verses again and put Daddy or Dad in the place of Abba. Where Jesus said, Abba, Father, He was saying, Daddy, Father. Paul said, "You've not received the spirit of bondage to fear. You've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Daddy, Father." Galatians 4:6, Paul said, "Because your sons, God has sent forth the spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Daddy, Father." How many of you call your dad, Dad? Let's see your hands. How many of you call your dad, Daddy? Let's see your hands. How many of you called him something else? Let's see your hands. Maybe it was a nickname, maybe something else. Maybe you can tell me about it later. But I want to speak to you today on the subject, are you a dad or just a father? I saw a wall plaque that said this: anyone can be a father, but it takes somebody special to be a daddy. That's exactly what it means when you read those words, Abba, Father. Any adult male may be able to father a child, and we got a lot of irresponsible men doing that in our day. But to develop a close relationship with a child that causes a daughter to become a virtuous woman or leads a man to become an honorable man, that is the work of a dad. I wonder if we shouldn't rename Father's Day and call it Dad's Day. Because it is not just a day to recognize in many ways the men who simply father children, because again, any man might be able to physically do that. But it is a day when we recognize that there is something special about the office of father, which is often referred to as dad or daddy or papa or something like that. Let me point out to you first of all today that a dad is a man who has a pleasant delight in his children. A dad is a man who has a pleasant delight in his children. Say that with me, would you please? A dad is a man who has a pleasant delight in his children. Now, I love those verses in Romans chapter 8. This is one of five times in Romans chapter 8 that the term adoption appears in the Bible. And here Paul says, "You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption." I said to one of our men before the service this morning, I said, "You remind me of this term, spirit of adoption, because the way you have taken others outside in, even though he's not a father, he has the spirit of adoption. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry." And this is Paul writing to you and me as Christians, and he says, you've not received the spirit of a bondage to fear, you and me as Christians have received the spirit of adoption that causes us to cry, Abba, Father. More than adoption, the spirit of adoption. It's saying this, get this. You come to God as a lost sinner seeking forgiveness of sin and a relationship with God. And God works a miracle in your heart, the miracle of the new birth. You're actually born into God's family. You and I, isn't this amazing? Somebody say amen. You and I actually get to become God's child. God Himself becomes your father. But you get more than that. You don't just get a father. You get somebody who is a father that you have a very close relationship, so that the spirit of adoption comes in here and He becomes your Abba Father. Your Heavenly Father. I'm not saying this disrespectfully. He's not just a formal Father sitting on the throne. If you say this carefully and respectfully, it's all right. He's your spiritual dad. You get more than the birth relationship. You get an adoptive relationship as well. Now, you and I think of adoption, we might think of something slightly less than natural sonship. But God uses adoption to refer to something a step beyond sonship. A home without a child who would bear the father's name and carry on the father's lineage and become heir to the father's fortune was a sad home. A father might have many servants, but it wasn't the same as having a son. And here is a father. He's gone for a number of years without a son, and he decides to adopt. He may actually pick out a faithful servant, or he may go walk the streets until he finds a boy who has no parents. And this boy has no hope of ever being anything but a slave. And the father takes him home. Home to what? Home to the spirit of bondage, to fear that he's going to be a slave and a servant. Home to that? No. A home where he's always wondering what the master might do to you as a servant or as a slave. Oh no. Ours is the spirit of adoption. It says that we have a powerful, personal, close relationship with our Heavenly Father. This is describing love and acceptance and attention and security. He pleasantly delights in us. I'm asking, are you a dad or just a father? I'm talking about it, what it means to be a dad. And I'm saying that a dad is a man who has a pleasant delight in his children. And our Heavenly Father pleasantly delights in you and me as His children, and He has given us the spirit of adoption, which is a happy spirit that loves children and wants children and enjoys spending time with children. And they're not a nuisance that gets in the way. They are somebody special. They are the next generation. The spirit of adoption means that the father doesn't treat this son even one whit differently than a son born in the ordinary course of nature. The spirit of adoption includes a spirit on the part of the Son Himself, a spirit of gratefulness. He wants to please the Father. He's overwhelmed with the thought that he is unworthily receiving the Father's affection. He is determined to develop the character of his Father and protect the reputation and honor of his Father's name. A daddy, again, is a man, what's the two words? Who has a pleasant delight in his children. Say it with me again. He has a pleasant delight in his children. Now listen to this verse in relation to that. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 12 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." So the Heavenly Father has a pleasant delight in His children. As a father, the son in whom he delighteth, he corrects. A daddy finds a key source for the delight and joy of his life. Get this now. A dad finds the key source for the delight and joy in his life, not in his golfing, or his fishing, or his working, not in his cars, not in his boats, or tractors, or mowers. You've seen guys that delight in all kinds of things. Not in his houses, or lands, or silver, or gold. Some fathers delight in movies and TV programs and ball games, but an Abba father, dad, finds the delight of his life in his children, whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. He delights in him. He pleasantly delights in his son. When anything, listen to me, when anything of this earth becomes more important to a parent than his child, then he ceases to be a dad and becomes just a father. How powerful and perfect and wonderful is this dad's delight in his child anyway. This human picture of a dad's delight, listen to the verse again, and don't miss this thought because it's really an incredible thought. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father. Watch my hand. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. And this human picture of a daddy's delight is so wonderful that God looks down from heaven and God says, that's like me. Y'all want to see how I delight in my children? You look at that daddy who delights in his children, God says, and you'll see what I'm like. This is amazing. This is not God's love as an example for man. This is man's love as a picture of God. This is God looking down saying, I'm going to pick out a man who delights in his children, and I want you to know that is a picture of me. Dad, do you delight in your children? I wondered about that word delight. When I looked it up, I found that the Hebrew word is also translated enjoy, pleased with, accept. You enjoy your children. You're pleased with your children. You accept your children. Liked and pleasure. You like your children. You get pleasure out of being with your children. I was surprised where that Hebrew word showed up. I was going through reading all the times that Hebrew word was translated in the Old Testament, and I was shocked at one of those places. Don't miss this. You might want to turn over there and look at it. It's an astounding thing. And it brings up all kinds of implications with it. It occurs in Proverbs 23:26. Now that's a verse I have preached from many times over the years. I preach from it to young people. When I preach to young people, the key message of my life to young people is, my son, give me thine heart. It comes right out of Proverbs 23:26. But I had never seen this before. This astounded me. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. You see that word observe right there? Let thine eyes. A father speaking to his son, my son, give me thine heart, let thine eyes observe my ways. That is the same Hebrew word that was used in that other verse when it talks about a father delighting in his son. Let thine eyes observe. Let thine eyes delight in my ways. Son, may your eyes be pleased with the ways that you see your father walking. When a dad, get this thought, when a dad delights in his child, then that causes the child to delight in the ways of his dad and to give his heart to his dad. Did y'all get that? Listen to that again. When a dad delights in his child, then that causes the child to delight in the ways of his dad and to give his heart to his dad. I was in the home of Brother Gil Bates. He has 18 children, and he lives in Tennessee. We were in their home several months ago. And I took pictures while I was there. And here's all these children from their 20s down to a little baby crawling on the floor. And every one of those children, by God's grace right now, are doing well. It was obvious the spirit of love and unity and fellowship in that home. It was obvious that the young men in that home who are already in their 20s, it was obvious they had a tremendous respect for their dad and that they were not going the wrong direction. They were going to go the right direction. It was just very obvious. And I'm walking around with my camera and I caught a picture that showed why that was so. I caught a picture that showed how it was that these children themselves are delighting in the way of their father. Let thine eyes observe my ways. It means that the children get to delight in the way of the father. I caught the father. He didn't even know I took the picture. I caught him on his hands and knees with the baby who is crawling. And he was doing it as natural as breathing is. He was just over there looking at his little girl who was crawling. He's right over there just looking at her like this. He was delighting in her. And that same sense of delight he had for his, not for her, he had it for all of his children. And a patience. I watched, he lives out in the country and he had boys. And man, them boys, they were doing all kinds of stuff. It was raining real hard that day. And the rain was pouring off the roof. One of them was standing out dancing in the rain. And he walks over and he says, "Now, son, you're probably going to need to dry off before you go in the house, don't you think?" And you know, there was a patience, there was a kindness, there was a gentleness, there was a delight that he had for his children that caused his... Are y'all getting this? I love this. That caused his children to delight in Dad. Dad, if you want to know a key element of raising godly children, it's very simple. Delight in your children. Just love being with them. Love spending time with them. You know what will happen? They will in turn delight in you. Don't be harsh with them. Don't be mean with them. Don't be angry with them. Don't be rough with them. Oh, you can rough house when you're playing with them and having fun with them. But other than that, don't grab them and jerk them and scream at them and all of that. You will create a child who does not delight in your ways, does not observe your ways, does not follow your ways. Now, Brother Bates, I was talking about him just now. He had an older daughter who plays the piano beautifully. He says to me, "Pastor Davis, would you like to hear my daughter play the piano?" And she walks over and really, she's made a recording already. She is really a professional recording artist. And she just walks over and she plays and there was a spirit that came through her playing, a spirit of joy, a spirit of happiness, a spirit of delight, a spirit of peace that just came. I told my wife when we left there, I said, "You know, there are people who could play as good or better than she could. Not many, but a few could play better maybe than she could. But there was a spirit that came through her playing." You know what that spirit was? It was the spirit of delight that she had in her father and the spirit of delight that came from her father delighting in her. And my guess is her daddy's delight has probably been her chief motivation for years. And this delight of a daddy is what causes a boy to want to become a man of honor who chooses right instead of wrong. So many in our day are choosing the wrong instead of the right. Now you remember, I've been on Proverbs 23:26 here. "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways." Let thine eyes delight in my ways. Now, you remember what comes right after that in the rest of that chapter? He says, "Son, let me tell you what's coming up for you. The wrong women are going to be around somewhere. And the wrong wine is going to be around somewhere." And he warns, "A strange woman is a narrow pit." And he warns that they that tarry long at the wine, He says they have woe and sorrow and contentions and babbling and wounds without cause and redness of eyes. And he says, don't even look upon that stuff when it's red, when it gives its color in the cup, when it moves itself aright, because it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. He says, stay away from that. Son, you got to stay away from that. How is he going to get his son to stay away from it? How many sons do you all know of who move that direction? I know any son can. I'm not being critical of anybody. But what is it that keeps a son away from that? It is a father who delights in his son. That causes the son to delight in his father. Fathers, do you light up when you come into your son's presence? Or does your countenance fall? This delight of a dad is what causes a girl, listen to me, to be a daddy's little girl who loves and admires her dad and wants to please her dad. Hear me, I'm probably about to make the key statement of the whole message here. It's a shame that every little girl doesn't get to be a daddy's little girl. Every little girl was meant by God to have a dad who is an Abba Father, who is tender and gentle and delicate and delighting in his daughter, so that that makes her a daddy's little girl and in some ways makes it that way for life. Could I tell you, this doesn't end when a son or a daughter becomes a man or a woman. When I do right, I can still see my dad's eyes smiling at me. My dad's been in heaven for 23 years now. But when I do right, I can still see my dad smiling at me, and not his lips smiling. I can see his eyes smiling at me, saying, "Son, you're a blessing to me." Dads, let me suggest that you use those words. In fact, write this down. I'm fixing to give you something you ought to write down. Use those words I gave a few moments ago regularly in relation to your children. What words am I talking about? I'm talking about the words delight, pleasure, like, pleased, and so on. Enjoy. Daughter, you are a delight to be around. Son, working with you is a pleasure. Daughter, I like the lady that you are becoming. Son, I'm pleased with the man you're allowing God to make you into. I'm going to read those again. Let's do it. Daughter, you are a delight to be around. Son, working with you is a pleasure. Daughter, I like the lady you are becoming. Son, I'm pleased with the man you're letting God make you into. A daddy is a man who has a pleasant delight in his child. A daddy is a man who is pleased with his child just because his child is his child. The child doesn't have to do anything. Dad is simply pleased and delighting in the child. You remember Matthew chapter 4? The baptism of Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water. Lo, the heavens were open to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven said, watch it. You remember I used the word pleased a while ago? Guess what? Heavenly Father uses the word pleased right here. This is my, say it with me, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Dads, how often do you say that to your son? How often do you say that in front of others? Do you realize there were others there that day? John the Baptist was there baptizing the Lord Jesus. There may have been others there that day. And the Father is speaking from heaven, wants everybody to know, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, wait a minute. Jesus is 30 years of age. He's a grown man. What sermon has he preached up to this point? None. What miracles has he performed up to this point? None. No. He didn't have to perform any miracles. He didn't have to do anything. This is my beloved Son in whom I delight. I am well pleased with Him. I like Him. I love Him. I'm His Abba Father. I'm His Dad. And that's what Jesus called Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. When He was in the greatest agony of His entire life, He says, Abba, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I want, but what You want. How can? Now, this is the Heavenly Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we recognize, by the way, you look through the Bible, and one of the frustrating things, I've done this, I've spent a lot of time doing this, one of the frustrating things in the Bible is finding the right kind of fathers who are examples. I mean, where do you find it? You see failures, significant failures in the lives of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Aaron and David, and you go right down the line, you see so many failures. What is? Where do you find the picture of a father-son relationship? It's like God in the Bible says, I'm going to give you one extraordinary example. You can find a few more. And that is the Heavenly Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you want to know what a father's supposed to be like, you look at their relationship. And this was somebody that the Son could go to in the darkest hour of His life, and He knew His Father was going to listen. Abba, Father. Jesus was saying, Daddy, Daddy, Father. Now, and you know what the Heavenly Father was saying when He was saying, this is My beloved Son in whom I will well please? He was saying this, and please don't think me disrespectful here. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm trying to communicate a truth here. It is clearly here. The Heavenly Father was saying, that's My boy. He doesn't have to do a thing. I'm pleased with Him because He's My boy. And fathers, there ought to be times when you say, that's My boy. And I'm pleased with Him. He's My boy. Dad, say to your daughters, God was so good to pick you out for us. I'm so glad you're my daughter. In fact, if I didn't have a daughter just like you, I'd wish I did. Say it with a smile. Say it with a very proper touch of love. Jesus was the divine Son of the Heavenly Father. But I speak carefully and respectfully when I say He was also His dad's boy. And no dad ever loved the son as much as our Heavenly Father loved his. And no son ever loved his dad as much as Jesus loved his Heavenly Father and wanted to please his Heavenly Father. That's the reason He said very plainly, take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt. How could the Lord Jesus do what He did? Because He delighted in the Father. Now, I'm not at the end of my message, but I'm going to take my opening story one step further. I told about Jeff Fugate and his dad. That preacher was his hero, shined the shoes for him, put notes. His dream was to become, to get to where he worked on the staff with his dad. And then something happened. We would be one of the most devastating occurrences of Jeff's life. When he was in his late teen years, Jeff Fugate's dad came down with cancer. His dad was only in his 40s. He thought, well, surely, you know, we're going to get some treatments. Dad is going to live. But on his 20th birthday, August the 25th, 1985, the doctor said, your dad only has a few hours to live. And Jeff Fugate told his mother, Mom, I have to go to Sunday school and church today. It was a Sunday. If Dad wakes up and finds out I'm not in church, he'd be disappointed. I have to go to church. And he literally left his dad's deathbed to go to church. The preacher preached that morning on the subject Paul, the shipwreck, and the snake bite. When they feared that they were going to lose their lives, an angel appeared to Paul. And Paul said to the people, an angel appeared unto me in the night and said, fear not. After the service was over, somebody asked Jeff, you want to stop and get something to eat? He said, no, let's hurry back to the hospital. He walked into the hospital and he said, I was so glad to see Dad was still breathing. I sat down beside his bed. I picked up that hand that had been so strong and callous, that hand that had worked so hard, had loved me and disciplined me, and I put his hand in my hand. It was now frail and white and weak. And I said, "Dad, I want you to know I love you today. I went to church because I didn't want to disappoint you." And as I held his hand in mine, I said, "Dad, it was a good message today. The preacher preached on Paul, the shipwreck, and the snake bite. When they thought they were going to lose their lives, Paul said to them, his mind went blank. He couldn't think of what the preacher said. And his father's eyes focused on the son. And the father's last words were these: fear not, son. Fear not, son." Last words. Died a little while later. That's not the end of the story. I'll share the end of the story with you later. Daddy is a man who has a pleasant delight in his children. Secondly, that was my longest point in case you're wondering. Daddy is a man who pointedly declares his love for his children. He pointedly declares his love for his children. I only know of a couple of reasons why a dad doesn't tell his children that he loves them. Number one, to me, is almost unthinkable. Maybe he doesn't love them. Or number two, his pride is bigger than his love. Dads, your children need to regularly hear you say these words: "Son, I love you. Daughter, I love you." Every day or several times a day is not too often. It should be as such a regular thing at your house that it's as natural as breathing or eating. "I love you, son. I love you, daughter." Does your son or daughter know that you love them because they see your love and they hear you enunciate your love for them? Do they see it? Do they hear it? Do they see it? Do they hear it? You know, I've been preaching from 1 Corinthians 13 since back in February. And I preach, what, 9 messages now? And I've had all these commentaries spread out. It's a mess. Don't look at my study. I got all these commentaries spread out. I'll be preaching from it again. And I came to a spot in one of the commentaries. I was studying verse 4 or 5, something like that. And the writer of the commentary, I mean, I think I spoke out loud in my study. I'm reading what he says, and I spoke out. I said, "No! No, you're wrong! What'd you write that for? That's wrong! You shouldn't have written that in that commentary. That's wrong! I hope nobody reads that and preaches that." He said, "You don't have to tell your children you love them. You just show it." I thought, brother, you are wrong. That was a false philosophy that really was in vogue in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, into the 70s, and terribly so. It is passed down as a curse, a generational curse to this generation, where their fathers, who never say to their sons or daughters, "Son, I love you." Listen to this. Did you ever see this? John 3:35, Jesus said, "The Father loveth the Son." John 5:20, "For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth." Do you see the communication level there between the Father and the Son? Tells him, shows him all these things, tells him all these things. John 10:17, "Therefore doth my Father love me." John 14:31, "But that the world may know that I love the Father." John 15:9, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." I heard a wonderful preacher in Louisiana a few weeks ago. He's from Orlando, Florida. And he preached, he said, "Let me tell you what family means. Family is F-A-M-I-L-Y. 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 Forget about me. I love you. That's what family is. That's what a father does. Forget about me. I love you. Everybody here, turn to some member of your family if you have a member of family here today. If not, you can turn to a brother or sister in Christ. It's on. Everybody turn right now. Look at somebody and say, forget about me. I love you. Do it right now. Forget about me. I love you. Come on, everybody do it. Forget about me. I love you. Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love one to another. That's how the world knows that we are Christians, if we love one another like we ought to. Now, remember John 15:9? As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now hold on to your seat. Somebody here this morning has missed out on a daddy's love. The whole time I've been preaching this, you've been suffering. You've been saying, I wish I had a daddy who did that. You've been saying, I wish I had an Abba father. I had an earthly father, but, you know. Jesus lived with a wonderful earthly stepfather, Joseph. But he found his real love and acceptance from his heavenly father. You can do the same thing if you will. His heavenly father is where he found it. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And if you will let Him today, the Heavenly Father will wrap His arms around of love around you and say, I'm pleased with you. I love you. I accept you. You're wonderful. You delight me. If you will listen, He's trying to tell you right now. In fact, listen to this verse. John 15:10, Father, Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And did you know the principle in that verse could stop all abortions immediately if people got it? Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Thou lovest me. You ought to love your children before they are ever conceived. Dads should love and delight in their children before they're ever even conceived in the womb. There should be a delight in them. That would do away with abortion, don't you think? Listen to this little story. Kathy was struggling with both resentment and fear when she came for help. This counselor is writing this story. She found it hard to understand acceptance and affirmation. There was always the fear she would be rejected, especially by men. She remembered many times when her father had turned her away. He never had time for her, never listened to her. Once she saw a wall plaque in a store with some loving sentiments on it. She saved up her money. She bought it. She gave it to her dad. He looked at it and gruffly said, we already got enough junk laying around the house now. We don't need this. She said she remembered something being turned off inside her that day. Later, when her father mellowed and wanted to be more understanding and affectionate, she was still angry and afraid. It had affected her relationships with other people and with God. Gradually, she learned to forgive and to accept affirmation and love. Through counseling and the friendship of a loving Christian family, she came to understand the daddiness of God. That's exactly what this says. Abba, Father. As she shared and let herself be known, she realized she really was accepted and loved. A daddy is a man who has a pleasant delight in his children. A daddy is a man who pointedly declares his love for his children. Dads, don't let this day go by. You know, everybody's wishing us Happy Father's Day today, but you know what we ought to be saying to our children, grandchildren, is, I love you. Thank you for letting me be in this position. Thank you for the delight that you bring to my heart and to my soul. And number three, not only is a man... A dad has a pleasant delight in his children. The dad pointedly declares his love for his children. A dad powerfully directs his children's lives. He powerfully directs his children's lives. A real dad cannot and will not simply sit back and allow his children to just say or do anything and not do something about it. His love moves him to action. Proverbs 3:12 again, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as, just like a father, the son in whom he delighted. When you have a son and you delight in that son, you know what you do? He starts to, you really delight in that son. You correct him. If you don't correct him, you're showing that you don't really delight in him. If you don't correct a child going the wrong direction, you're showing that you don't have the right kind of love for your child. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. You don't give him a choice of which way he should take. You train him up. You put him on the path of right, and you do whatever you have to do to keep him on the path of right. You do not. He will tend to get off the path of right. You say to him, no, son, you got to get back on this path. You're delighting in him, but you're not letting him get off the right path for any reason. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Listen to that. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Your child, every child, has foolishness bound up in his heart. It is wrapped tightly in his heart. And that foolishness will lead your child the wrong direction unless you, as a parent, with love and gentleness and firmness, say to him, no, you are not going that way. You're not going. I'm not letting you. No, no, I love you, son. You're not going that direction. However long it takes, you're not going that direction. There's a verse that talks about how that you don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. I remember a night at my house when, I don't remember what it was about, but my youngest daughter, Joanna, and I, we had had some kind of tiff. And it was late at night, and it was time to go to bed. It was 10:30, 11, something like that. She said, Dad, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. I said, can't go to bed. She said, why not? I said, because we're not right. Something's not right between us. We can't go to bed. So we sat there and talked till 12, till 12:30, till 1 o'clock. We couldn't work it out. We couldn't seem to work it out. She said, Dad, I am going to bed. I can't hold my eyes open. I'm going to bed. I said, then I'm going to your bedroom with you. Ask her if she remembers this next time you see her. She went to her bedroom. She laid down. I said, I'm sitting right here. I will be here all night if I have to be here. She said, Dad, it's all right. It's not a problem. I said, it's not worked out, Joanna. It has to be worked out. Can't go to bed. Bible says, let not the sun go down. Can't go to bed. Can't do it. 2:30 in the morning. It was fine. I went to bed. I couldn't take a chance. You can't, Dad, you can't take that chance. That one night, that can be it. And you can't take a chance with any of your children. I have a good preacher friend. He has 7 children. He has called me over and over and over again about all of his children. He sought my counsel over and over and over again about all of his children. They're all grown and married now. They all have families of their own. Most of them do anyway. But I remember something he said 3 or 4 years ago when he called me about one of his children. He was seeking some counsel. And he said, he made this statement. He said, you know, Brother Davis, he said, I got a house full of children. But he said, it only takes one child going the wrong direction to break your life forever. That's all it takes. And no parent is perfect. Everybody fails at some time. But you got to pay whatever price you got to pay in order to do whatever you have to do to help your children. Proverbs 23:14 teaches that the main people God holds responsible for keeping a child out of hell are His parents. And especially His father. Do you know who's going to stand? Primarily, there are going to be many people standing at the judgment with the blood of others on their hand, but there's going to be a lot of fathers standing with blood on their hands because they didn't reach their children. Mark 14:36. Remember the verse? Abba, Father, Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt. When a man is truly a daddy, Then his children want to do what daddy wants them to do because they trust him to know what is best. That was Jesus saying, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Now, can you quote with me? I'm almost done here. Proverbs 22:6, say it with me, would you please? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let me finish my opening story. Jeff Fugate, his dad's his hero. He's shining his dad's shoes. He sits right on the front. He tells his dad, you're my hero. He says, other people have sports heroes, all this stuff. My dad's my hero. In his teen years, his dad develops cancer. On or about his 20th birthday, his dad dies of cancer. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. And a few months later, a young and very alive Jeff Fugate found himself one night sitting in front of a brightly lit nightclub. He saw the lights. I heard him tell this myself just a few days ago. He could hear the music. He saw the women in their skimpy dresses walking in and out. He saw the men holding their booze. And it was like a magnet pulling them in. He reached to turn off the ignition and step out of the car and walk into the nightclub. And in his mind, he saw his daddy hero's face. And he heard his daddy's voice saying, son, there are going to be times when you're tempted to do wrong. You don't have to do wrong. Make the hard choice. Do the right thing. He put the car in gear and drove away and has been pastor of Clay's Mill Road Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky now for many years. Making a tremendous impact for God. I have one closing statement. Listen to this, please. God gives... This is not original. This is something I found somewhere. God gives a father power in relation to his son that he gives to no other man on earth. God also gives a son a hunger for the blessing and help of his father. And when a man's parents stand before God, the main person giving account for his son's life will not be the mother. It will be the father. Are you a daddy, or are you just a father? Would you bow with me, please?